When Matthew put his gospel, wrote his gospel, when he put it together, by that stage in the development of the church wasn't known as the church. It was really known as the way or the followers of the Nazarene. It wasn't known as the church as we understand it. That came to be in time. And not long after Matthew wrote his gospel, the followers became known as Christians for the first time, the followers of Jesus Christ, Christians. But it's important to remember that the things that we hear and the things that we read in Scripture are written in their time and place. So they reflect what is happening at that time in that place. So the audience that Matthew is writing for are very different than who we are, for example. Matthew's audience will have, many of them, will have walked where Jesus walked in the time that he walked. They will have, perhaps many of them, witnessed him speaking. They may have even witnessed his crucifixion, many of them. So the presence of Jesus, his physical being, was very much in front of them during these days, this early time. And then Matthew puts his gospel together after Jesus' death and his resurrection. And so he uses symbols and language from the Old Testament, or the First Testament, and he uses the language of that time, like of today, but in Jesus' time, or Matthew's time. And he brings the two together. So when we have places and things happening, they are nearly always connected to something else, a bigger picture. This is not just about Jesus going up a hill, the boys going out in a boat, it's a rough sea, and Jesus walks on water, yahoo. It's not like that at all. For example, there are only two times in Matthew's gospel when we're told that Jesus goes to pray. This is one, and the other time is Gethsemane. Now that is significant. Of Jesus, the prayer, only gets two mentions of his prayers in Matthew's gospel. He goes up the mountain. The mountain gets mentioned so many times. Anything big, as I've said before, that happens with God is going to happen up a mountain. So he has Jesus going up this hill, which will remind the audience, not so much us, but it'll remind the original audience, the first followers of Moses, going up the hill, up the mountain, where he received the law of the Lord. We have the boys in the boat. The disciples were handpicked by Jesus. He knew them all intimately. They were professional fishermen, four of them at least. So they knew how to handle a boat, you would think. But today, they're in this boat and they can't handle it. These guys who make their living in boats. So there's almost a contradiction happening there. The boat was the first and the earliest symbol of what the church was. So Matthew is putting the boat in there to remind the audience that this is the journey of the church. We are this boat and we are very often in stormy, rough, tossed seas. And ain't that the truth, as they say? So the symbol, you'll even see it carved in ancient cemeteries, of the boat is there very, very often. And the audience would understand that they are in this boat together, and they have been handpicked because they were, Declan, baptised, and they came to be baptised a little bit older than you, most of them. Not quite as old as your family there, but a little bit older than you, because they put their hand up like you did, and I know you did, and said, I want to be baptised. That's what they did. And in putting their hand up, God grabs the hand, so watch out, mate, God grabs the hand, and we don't know where we're going to end up. And it was easier for them because they witnessed Jesus. It's more difficult for us because we don't see him and hear him. And that's the other imagery that's built into the walking on water. It is in the chaos of life very often, and the storm always represents chaos, the beginning. Jesus walks on the water, the breath of God calmed the chaos in the creation stories of Genesis. They all link in together. But in the chaos of our life, we find it very challenging. to say, I know that Jesus is with me. Because we just can't see, feel, experience him that physical way that the first believers and the disciples did. It is, I think, more challenging. And as time goes on, technology gets greater, the world gets more and more wonderful. Identifying Jesus is, I think, even more challenging. So don't be surprised when at times during the course of our life we doubt ourselves. And that's why Peter is in there jumping into the water and sinking. Don't be surprised if there are doubts in your life, but do not labour the doubts that exist in your life. Labouring on your doubts reduces your faith. Just admit the fact that, yep, there are some things I don't quite get, I don't quite understand. There are some things that are quite confusing for me. But if we had all of the answers, there would be no need for faith, because we'd know everything. And our faith says, I need to be comfortable and uncomfortable at times with what I know and what I don't know. Now, with the first communion candidates, I have been telling them that we recognise Jesus in four ways when we make communion. And Declan's also about to make his communion very shortly as well, and he may have already learnt this. But the four ways that we experience Jesus in the Eucharist, in this Mass, are firstly by the people gathered. He is among us. The second way that we experience Jesus is by the word, within the word that we're given, his words. The third way we experience Jesus in the Mass is by the water and the wine and the bread that are brought forward that will soon become the body and blood of Christ. And the fourth way is through the person of the priest, who acts in the person of Jesus Christ himself. Those four ways, you, the bread and wine, the word, and myself. Now, some of you will recognise Jesus really easily in the word, especially when you're younger, because some of the stories are so good and you can get that. Some of you will find scripture completely confusing and chaotic and you won't recognise Jesus in it. Some of you will recognise Jesus in the people gathered here, the goodness and the love that exists in people here. You will recognise him that way. Others of you will not recognise people in this gathering here, because we remain strangers. There may be somebody who has said something or done something that has hurt somebody who's sitting on the other side of the church, and no matter what I do, I can't forgive them. That exists. That's the reality. So we don't always see Jesus in everybody gathered, as much as we try. We can't always see Jesus, all of us, in the bread and the wine that is brought forward for consecration, because that word transubstantiation is just too big for most of us. Even those of us who went through university and study the whole mystery behind it, it's big and it's not easy to explain. But it is, once we talk and we look at it through the eyes of our faith. Without faith, we can't have these conversations, really, where Jesus is identified. And the fourth way is, some of you will never see Jesus in the things that I say and do, especially as you get to know me better and better, you'll think there's not much of Jesus in him. But we are all flawed in some way. And for some people, they will come close to Jesus, and for others, I hope I don't drive anybody away. I hope. But perhaps I have, I don't really know. But we all have our limitations, and that's what Peter represents. But don't let those doubts, as I say, interfere with our faith. Labour the faith, don't labour the doubts. Just accept that there are some things I can get at the moment and other things I can't. And that's an enormous leap for a lot of us. It's amazing, this world that we've done so much with, we've learned to put a man on the moon, yet we can't cure a common virus. We can listen to whales singing at the bottom of the ocean, yet we do nothing about the cry of the poor, or very little. We have developed amazing weapons of war and death and destruction, and not one for peace and harmony. So all of these opposites exist in our life. So no wonder it's difficult for some of us to see Jesus. No wonder some of us feel like the disciples in the boat. It's a ghost. They are a product of their time. And part of that was superstition. We are a product of our time. And so we are heavily influenced by things like technology and science and medicine. It's what we do with it that becomes the most important thing. So Declan, as you enter into your faith journey in the church, supported by a loving family, I know that there will be days when you can't see Jesus in people and in the world around you. And then there are other days when you experience so much love and so much goodness. Whilst you don't see the face of Jesus, you experience the effects of him moving in the world. And that's what's brought you here today. And I know that because the family have helped explain that to me. So we don't take for granted our faith journey. Nobody comes into this church and just shows their ID and says, yep, okay, I'm a member of the church. It is a journey. And it takes a commitment. If you want to talk about faith journey, it's a commitment. It's a promise that we make and we try to uphold. And that's why I asked Declan to make his own promises, and he will again in a moment. Normally, for most of us, that was done for us when we were little children. But when you're a bit older and you make those promises yourself, you do start to understand that this is a journey. It is a journey with Jesus, and I have to try to find him in the good, the bad, and the ugly of my life. We need strength to do that, and that's why the church uses her sacraments. So Declan, in a moment, I'm just going to let you think about those words that I have said there with this congregation, reflecting on the word of God, preparing to bring up the bread and wine, and through me as an instrument. Where is Jesus in all of this at this time? And now that I am meeting him, we say to ourselves, not just Declan, what am I going to do with what I have experienced? Am I going to be a disciple following Jesus, or am I going to be someone who is overwhelmed by the doubts that exist in my life?